Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Will you pray with me, please? Holy Spirit, come and fill your lambs. Fill our hearts, fill our souls, fill our bodies. Quiet our minds. Make us forget our to-do list. Make us set aside our burdens and quiet our spirits so that we may hear your word and it may become alive within us. Lift up your cross, O God, and hide me behind it, so that I am not seen and only you are visible. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord. For your word is life, your word is breath, your word is all that we need. And let the church say, amen. Jesus has been going about the countryside after his baptism and his temptations. He's been feeding people. He's been healing people. He's been casting out demons. And he decides to go home to Nazareth, where he grew up, where he learned a trade from his father, where he was a little boy and he fell down and bumped his knees, you know, where he went to learn the scriptures, where he learned to read. You know, all throughout the countryside, they've been hearing the stories of this man. So why not go home? You know, go see your mama. Go see your brothers and sisters. So that's where we pick up the story from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through the first part of 6. Now, I'm going to read from the New Revised Standard Version. I invite you to read from whatever text you got, whether it's printed or electronic, or you can simply just listen. Okay? He, meaning Jesus, left that place and came to his hometown, that'd be Nazareth, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. Not the temple. The synagogue was probably just a little tent gathering, okay? It had to have at least 10 Jewish adult males to have a synagogue. And many who heard him were astounded. Remember, they knew him when he was a boy. And they said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joses, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" So far, so good, right? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could not do deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So he comes home, the miracle worker, the prophet, the teacher, the one who could talk to Satan and cast him out of the demon. Just earlier in chapter 5, the demon who'd been hanging around the tombs, he cast that out, and he comes home. What kind of welcome was that? Terry, I'm not using the slides. He comes home, and they belittle him. They reject him. They say, "Isn't this Mary's boy? His sisters and his brothers are here," and they ridicule him. they can't even get excited that the hometown boy did well. It's like they don't want to believe. They don't want to believe that one of their own could be this person. It's like the old saying that I shared with the class meetings. Now, speaking of class meetings, it's not too late. Y'all want to jump on in, come on in Monday night, Tuesday morning. Familiarity breeds contempt. So I began to wonder, as I was thinking about this, have we too become so complacent with this Jesus? Here we are in the South in the Bible Belt, where there's really, you can't throw a rock without hitting a church, right? Have we become so complacent with Jesus that we don't know who he is anymore? Have we become so familiar with him that we have forgotten how wonderful, how magnificent this person is? Do you think about him? Except on Sunday. Or is this just a drive-through? You come by, check, I thought about Jesus for an hour. Or maybe two, because I'm a good Christian. I came for Sunday school. You know? Do you understand who this person, this being, really is? Well, today we're going to explore just a piece of that. First, he is the Son, one of the three of the Trinity, who has always been, here. He was here at the beginning of time. He is, you know, the Trinity. Those who've been through confirmation, I'm not going to put up the shield. Okay? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Genesis it said, let us make human in our image. The Son was there from the beginning. Has always been and will always be. We're talking about that. I mean, come on, can't you get excited about that? I mean, this is someone who's been here all along. This is the great and powerful Son. Look behind the curtain, people. Thank you. 9 o'clock didn't get amen, and y'all at least thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Okay, good. Allie, come on, baby. Help me out here, brother. The Son who saw the first light, who saw the stars, who was there with the Ruach. The Ruach that blew breath into everything. Who took chaos and made order. This, the Son. This person of the Trinity. This is who we're talking about. We're not talking about a warm, fuzzy person here, okay? The Almighty Son. All right? That's one. And then this is the second thing we know about. It's this person that we read about, that Zach told us about when he read that great hymn from Philippians. Jesus. Next slide, please, Terry. Jesus, who chose and was obedient to God and came to earth, as John 1 says in the Message, to live in the neighborhood, took on flesh and bones and became human, fully divine and fully human. That's why we have two candles, right? One for the human and one for the divine. Please tell me you knew that. Make me happy. Lie to me. Okay. We recognize that Christ was 100% human, 100% divine. He took on our form. He gave humanity sacredness. He was born as a homeless infant who became an immigrant. Did you hear me? He became an immigrant because they were wanting to kill him from the beginning. He knew what it was like to fall down and skin his knees. He knew what it was like to cry, to have pain, to experience hunger, to have people after him. And he grew up. He experienced anger, mostly at church people, probably because of committees. Don't call the bishop, okay? He already knows my views on the committees. He knew how to love. He had human form. This is so very important because in taking on human form, he said that bodies are important. Not just some bodies, but all bodies are important. And all bodies have sacred worth. And we say that every week here when we go to that table. What do we say about this table? Who is welcome here? All are welcome here. All bodies are welcome here because God loves all people. Because God created all human bodies. Jesus, the human one, Jesus, the divine one, came to make this experience holy and sacred. And then Jesus also came to be the Messiah. Now, Jews were looking for something different. They were looking for a military, a government Messiah to cast the Romans out. They were tired of being oppressed. But Jesus said, no, the Messiah is not that. Yes, the Messiah came to set you free. The Messiah came to get you out of bondage, but not in the way you were looking for it. Jesus said, I am the Messiah. I am the one you've been looking for. I came to set you free from sin and death, yes, but a different kind of sin and death. I came to let you know that the image of God that was placed in you at your creation is still there, though it has been marred by how you've conducted yourself. But I came to help you reunite that with the God who put it there. I came to show you that love conquers hate, love conquers evil, and I'm going to help you provide a bridge back to that God. Back out of the oppression of sin, back out of the oppression that you have put yourself in. I've come to help you unite with God, but in a way that is eternal, in a way that is life-giving, in a way that is whole, in a way that only I can do that. Not that you then can go and oppress other people, but in a way that is holy. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the one that brings unity. But not in the way they were looking for. Because they were looking for the wrong kind of love. They were looking again for oppression themselves. We claim that. We claim that. So then this leads us to back to our central question. Or better yet, to rephrase it, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Is he just somebody that you show up, on a Sunday? Maybe if you're a good one, you show up for a Bible study. Or is he Lord? Truly Lord. So now I'm going to step on some toes. Would you kindly remove your shoes so I can stomp on them a little bit more? Is he Lord of your checkbook? Ooh, couple of you squirmed a little bit. Really, is he Lord over how you use your resources? Is he Lord of your watch? How you use your time? And here's the one that's going to get you to call the SPRC chair, because I'm going to go to meddling. Is he Lord of your cell phone? I mean, really, is he Lord of your conversation? Because this is a person who gave his all for you. On a Friday, he took everything that separates you from God onto himself. And he bore it on a cross. Then he had the audacity to say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He has God to forgive us? Because we didn't know how we were hurting ourselves, how we were separating ourselves from God, and how we were asking him to bear that? And that was causing him to be separated from God. And he bore that for us. But if that is where the story ended, it would just be a story, would it not? It wouldn't be what would unite us. Because you see, that's not where it ended. 3 days later, when the sun began to shine, heaven's choir began to sing, and God said, "Let's go get him." God blew open that grave, and the son walked out, bearing the scars that we might live. And for that, we say, praise God. We say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ.